Gracious and loving God, we invite you in once again. God, we want to be the kind of people that magnify you the way that Mary did. Our souls magnifying you. Make it clearer. Make it bolder for us. May our souls magnify you so that others might see you in us. God, we thank you for this opportunity. And as we consider another hymn today, God, would you bless us by opening our hearts, our minds, our ears, and our eyes to what you have to say to us as we come with expectation, as we come with our longings, as we once again open ourselves up to receive your word. God, we love you and we thank you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. For us to magnify the Lord, we have to accept that invitation for Christ to come into our lives. The hymn this morning that we'll be considering is Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. This past Wednesday at the community table, my son Jesse and I found a little time together. We were in the sanctuary as the sanctuary is candle lit. After the supper was over, we made our way in. There's some prayer stations out in the gathering area, and we found ourselves sitting in the sanctuary, just praying, listening to music, and Jesse came in and sat beside me. We opened up the hymnal. And it was really neat to do that. I don't know if you've ever really spent some time looking at how it all, you know, is organized, and you're flipping through it, and all of a sudden you get to this expectation, this longing, this Christmas songs are about to come, but before they come, there's these Advent songs that bring us in. Oh come, Emmanuel, like we talked about last week. And one is look to the east. And I said, well, Jesse, why do you think it says look to the east? Oh, wasn't really sure. Well, the sun rises in the east. It's this idea of expecting and hoping and longing and looking forward. And as you flip through that, we came to this hymn, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. Number 196 in your hymnal. You can look at it. It has two verses, and that's it. And it is every single line, every single word matters. It is the kind of a hymn where if you wrote it, one of my favorite New Testament hymns is the Nunc Dimittis. It's another one, the hymn of Simeon, where he sings the Nunc Dimittis, which is like, you can take me now, Lord. This is it. This is one of those hymns that we might encounter and not really even notice how brilliant it really is. You might find yourself the way I did. I was shopping this past week. I believe I was at Kohl's. There's an extra long line. I had some things that I was going to buy. I don't even think I made it to the counter because of my lack of patience. And as I'm walking through the line, though, I did notice this. I'm walking through the line, and there's all kinds of people, and they're carrying their items, you know, to buy. And I'm thinking, nobody's noticing what we're hearing. Beyond the noise, up above, there's some speakers, and it's playing Christmas music. And it was a Charles Wesley hymn. It wasn't this one, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. It was Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And I heard the words, Veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. And I thought, angels we've heard on high. I looked at the people behind me and in front of me. I thought, did you guys hear that? Hear what? Is there a register open? No. No, it's as if the angels are singing these songs, as if this beautiful message is being brought to us. And sometimes the danger is we can not even notice how brilliant these hymns are and the theology behind them. And so today I'm so excited to take a deep dive with you. And my hope for you today is that by the end of this message, that you'll come away with a deeper understanding, a deeper appreciation for this Charles Wesley hymn with just two verses. It was originally written, and by the way, as I studied Charles Wesley, I found that he's just a kindred spirit in that he's very focused on his hymns, and he might not notice anything else that's going on. There were stories that John Wesley would laugh at him because he'd walk into the room. I imagine he's got his feather pen, you know, dipped in his ink, and he's writing lyrics, and he just bumps into the table, and he's just aloof. But the man wrote over 6,500 hymns. Charles Wesley. Sometimes we don't often consider him because of John Wesley, his older brother. But Charles Wesley wrote in his bio, you can find that he wrote, "Not only come thou long expected Jesus, hark the herald angels sing, love divine, all loves excelling, oh for a thousand tongues to sing." He was the 18th child. Let's let that sink in. The 18th child of Samuel and Susanna Wesley. He attended Oxford with his brother, and he was one of the first folks to start what they called the Holy Club. And that was a club that would be dedicated and devoted to Bible study, to worship, to visitation of the sick and imprisoned, and they would observe Holy Communion. And they had such a method to their work that they were labeled Methodists. Look at all those Methodists, those sacramentalists, they were called sometimes. He was ordained to the priesthood in 1735, but it wasn't for a few years later he experienced a heartwarming, very much the same way his brother John did. He also traveled to the Georgian colonies, as it was called at the time, as a missionary to the natives and a chaplain to the colonists. He married Sarah Gwynn in 1749, and three out of their eight children survived infancy. So you know that behind the scenes, there's a whole lot of grieving, a whole lot of expectation, a lot of hope. He was the writer of over 6,500 hymns. And I was struck by what is written on his tombstone. I think this says so much about him. He was, as a preacher, he was eminent for ability, zeal, and usefulness. I want that on my tombstone, too. Eminent for ability, zeal, and usefulness. I got a long way to go. Being learned without pride, and pious without ostentation. Ostentation, I had to look that up, and it means not gaudy or showy with wealth or any of your merit. It's a very humble type of word. The sincere and diffident Christian, a son of consolation. But to the vain boaster, the hypocrite, and the profane, a son of thunder. Look out. Any vain boasters in here? Look out. The son of thunder. And I wanted to, one of the hymns it's just absolutely brilliant, this hymn that we're studying today. And as he wrote this, I was fascinated to learn that the tune that we sing, "Come Thou Long Expected Jesus," was not the original tune that he would have been humming or singing as he wrote those lyrics. The original tune is called Stuttgart, and it's in German. I've asked Mark to play it. This is the original. And as he plays this, you'll be able to hear the lyrics even in a different melody. Let's hear that. Yeah, beautiful. As he played that, I could hear the lyrics even still. And it's interesting to know the forethought when Charles Wesley wrote this. His brother said something about it, and it was that every single line, every single word and phrase had a deep meaning. There was nothing in it, I believe John says, nothing in it that was superfluous. And a way that I think about this whenever I get a really great album or whenever I hear a really great song that's just on point from start to finish, there's this phrase, it's kind of slang, it's all killer, no filler. And that's what this hymn is, all killer, no filler. And as Wesley crafted this, there's a brilliance to it, and that is that the first verse of the song is all subjective. It's all things that we are experiencing and feeling. So he highlights our subjective experience of Christ's redemption. Here we experience our own freedom, rest, strength, consolation, comfort for those that are oppressed, those that are going through a difficult time, consolation, hope, and joy. All subjective experiences of Christ's redemption, things that we can feel, that we can take in. And then the second verse of the song, born thy people to deliver, born a child and yet a king, born to reign in us forever, now thy gracious kingdom bring. These are all objective. It's fascinating that he would write in this way with the intentionality of both subjective, the personal feelings, and the things where it doesn't matter whether or not you feel any certain way about it. Christ was born a child and yet a king, born to deliver, born to reign in us. He brings the kingdom, rules in our hearts via the Holy Spirit. He raises us by his own sufficient merit. And salvation for us is this grace. We talk about this grace, this free gift. The sanctifying grace within us is God's grace working in our hearts to make us the kind of people that God would have us to be. Without this sanctification, our souls can't magnify the Lord the way that Mary did. To magnify the Lord. So with this, as we look at the last part of the second verse, it's a doctrine of salvation. How Christ rules in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Justification, what Christ did for us on the cross with thine own sufficient merit. And then raise us to thy glorious throne, glorification. All within this hymn is brilliantly woven a doctrine of salvation. And I've sung this my whole life. Didn't really see it. Subjective, objective, a formula for the doctrine of salvation, all within two verses. And I feel like Charles Wesley just like drops the mic. There it is. That's it. There it is for you. And coming back to this theme within itself of longing, of hoping, of looking forward. And Advent is that for us. It's not only the coming of the baby Christ years ago, but it's Christ coming in redemption to redeem us all. The dear desire of every nation. When Wesley wrote this song, he was thinking about this scripture from Haggai. Let's look at that scripture in Haggai. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The dear desire of every nation, of all people, this longing that is in each and every one of us. And so the question for us today is what are you longing for? What is it that you're longing for? I thought about that, and And then came back to the song. I don't know if I could come up with a better list than this. Freedom from fear, from our sins and fears. Rest, peace, strength, comfort, hope, joy. And the verse, come, Lord Jesus, come. And so today I wanted to kind of lead you in this prayer. Because it doesn't really help us unless we get really, really, really specific. Where in your life do you need redemption? What are you longing for? When we look at our life, my thought life, my emotional life. I think about this a lot. I'm a person that's in my head a whole lot. Maybe you've noticed that. Sometimes distracted. Sometimes my thoughts are far away. This is an invitation. Come. Come, Lord Jesus, into my thought life. I want to think about you. I want to wake up and have you on my mind. I got a bunch of other things on my mind. I got a bunch of other things in my phone. I want to wake up with Jesus on my mind. Come, Lord Jesus, into my thought life. Maybe that's your prayer this morning. Or come into my emotional life. Maybe you feel like so emotional about certain things. Come, Lord Jesus, into that space, specifically into my emotional life. Come, Lord Jesus, make my will your will. Sometimes I go off on my own will. God, I know it's not what you want, but it's what I want, doggone it. Come, Lord Jesus, this invitation into my will, my speech patterns. My kids, I got two kids are in middle school, and they hear speech patterns they've never heard before. Amen? Amen? Kids, you hear words you never heard before. It's easy. It's easy to let that rub off on you. It's easy for you to use colorful metaphors inappropriately. Oh, they're sweating. Oh, amen. Come. Come, Lord Jesus, into my speech patterns so that my words are your words, so that the things that I say can glorify you. Wow, that's the invitation. My physical body, this body that you've been given. I love when we celebrated Don Hilkemeyer's life on Tuesday. The scripture that was read was although our outer bodies are wasting away, inwardly our strength is renewed. Your physical body, however old you are, you're given this beautiful container for your spirit, your physical. Come, Lord Jesus. Anybody work out? You go work out, do physical therapy, anything like that? Come, Lord Jesus. I invite you in. Sometimes we don't even think that way, do we? And then this was, I don't know how else to say this. Sometimes there's secret stuff. There's like a darkness to our lives that we don't tell anybody about, that we don't let see the light of day. It's there. What would it look like for you today to say, come, Lord Jesus, into this part of my life that I don't share with anybody? Come, Lord Jesus, into my darkness, into my false self, my anger, my lust, my fear. Come, Lord Jesus, into this dark part of me, my appetites, my relationship with food, with drink. Come into those things too, Lord Jesus. Instead of shutting the door. You know, Christ is not just going to knock and kick the door open. Christ is very considerate, knocking on the door of our heart. This is our invitation. Come into these places. And not only in myself, but let that spill out into my relationships with my spouse, my parents, my children, my siblings, my friends, my coworkers, my neighbors. As you look at this list, is there something on that list that kind of makes you a little uncomfortable that say, I really need to say, come, Lord Jesus, into these relationships that I have with other people? come, Lord Jesus. This is our inviting Christ in once again. And we know that that invitation goes both ways. We know that we are already invited. Maybe that's the good news, that Christ says, all of you who are weary and heavily burdened, come and I'll give you rest, is the promise in Matthew. Come to me, all of you. And then I wanted to close with the very last words in our Bible, the way that it all ends, the very ending. It says this: he who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen, which is a way of saying truth. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Come, Lord Jesus. And the grace, this gift of the Lord Jesus, be with God's people. Amen. Church, this is how we follow Mary in magnifying the Lord, is inviting Christ in once again into our lives in a whole new and maybe even deeper way than ever before, into your life, into your relationships, knowing and trusting that God has done it, that Christ is born unto us, a Savior. May our souls magnify the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you so much for this brilliant hymn, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. God, we are longing for freedom, for hope, for comfort, for joy. God, you know the places in our lives that we shut you out. God, convict us today. May we welcome you in to our dark places, to our thoughts, to our emotions, to our will. God, may we welcome you in to our relationships with those that we have the blessing of meeting and being in community with. God, may that ripple out. May others see our lives. And by seeing our lives, get a clear picture, a bigger picture of who you are, as our souls long to magnify you. God, we love you and we thank you for these blessings and for this challenge. In Jesus' name, amen.